In John chapter 16, we got all the way through verse 15, where Jesus claimed again to be God. He is talking to his disciples. They're on their way to the garden called Gethsemane. He will be arrested in just a few hours. And he continues on. He says this in verse 16, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." He reminds them and us once again, "I am going to be crucified." Earlier on, he said, "Don't let your hearts continue to be troubled. Don't let this stumble you. Don't let these things trip you up. I'm going to be crucified. In a little while, you won't see me anymore." He's going to be crucified. Now, they don't understand. They have not been able to understand. They're trying to understand, but they don't. You and I would not understand, except we have read the rest of the story. We've read it. Now, we know he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for us, for our sins, and he's going to be buried. He will physically die. He really did die, and he'll be buried, and on the third day, he's going to rise again. We know that because we read through. The Holy Spirit has quickened our hearts. We know it's true, but they don't know it, and they're afraid. "I gave up my life for you. You've been telling me where I'm going to eat, where I'm going to sleep, where I'm going today for the last 3.5 years. Now, I've grown kind of used to trusting in you and listening to you, and I don't understand. You're saying you're leaving and going back to the Father. This is confusing to me. I don't understand it." They're afraid. Some of the disciples, verse 17, they said among themselves, they're talking as they're walking, and they're kind of quietly talking among themselves, thinking hopefully they're out of earshot of Jesus, although he knows. They're saying among themselves, "What is this that he's saying to us? Thomas, can you explain? I don't know what's going on here. Could someone give me a clue?" I really love a lot of theater, and I did a lot of theater in my time when I was just a puppy. And we went, and I've told you about this, we went to some competition there in the colleges, the universities, and we went to one of the big universities in Phoenix there, Arizona State. And we were doing some competition, and there they did some of the theater of the absurd. And they did that show called The Birthday Party, if you're familiar with Harold Pinter and the Theater of the Absurd. It's just bizarre stuff. Not bizarre in the fact that they're weird, but bizarre in the fact that you don't know what's going on. I watched a 3-hour performance, and when it was over and the curtain closed and people are getting up and clapping, I'm sitting there going, "Can someone tell me, was that the devil? Was it really his birthday? And did he die?" And then nobody knew. After 3 hours of watching this theater of the absurd, and that's why it's called the absurd, you leave knowing just as much as when you got there. People like that. And I'm going, "Can anyone give me a clue? Like, who were those people that owned the hotel? Were they real? Were they angels? Were they alive? Can somebody tell me?" And people are going, "I don't know. Wasn't it good?" I think I knew less after watching it than I did when it started. Have you had the feeling? I mean, the disciples are going, "Could someone here explain to me what we're doing? Can someone just, I don't know, I don't understand a thing." None of them did. What a feeling. "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while and you shall see me," or not see me, "and again a little while you shall see me, and because I go to the Father." What is he saying? "They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he's saying." What is he talking about? Now, Jesus knew that they were confused. He knew that he's God. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. I like this about these guys. He's explained it for the last few hours. And as they're walking, they're ashamed to admit, "We have no idea what he's saying. Now, don't tell him because he's going to be mad at me." Jesus knows. Notice, they don't want to ask him. They don't want to say, "Can you explain this to him like one more time?" Nobody, they wanted to ask him, but they kind of felt stupid. When was the last time maybe you got down, you started to pray, and you said, Lord, I feel stupid. I feel dumb asking you this. Have you ever done that? I'm a little embarrassed about asking you this. Ask him. He is so calm. He is so patient. Ask him. I know I asked you this 20 minutes ago, and I know that I read that verse you gave me, but I don't know what you just said. So Jesus said to them in verse 19, do you inquire among yourselves what I just said? You asking among yourselves what I just said? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me. Truly, truly I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be filled with sorrow or sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I will be crucified. You won't see me. I'll be buried, but I'll be in there days. And you'll think I'm gone for good, but I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going back to my Father. But you'll see me again. Now listen, everyone. It's good news for you. It's good news for me now. Because let's face it, we look at him and say, Lord, what is going on around us? We see those seven deaths yesterday. You understand that God is in complete control. You know that war is coming. You know it. We understand that's going to happen. The people that are crying out for peace, by the way, have no idea what they're talking about. And it's kind of sad to watch. We understand basically what's going on around us. We know that the world will come close to annihilating itself. And I'm talking about mankind. Will come close to annihilating itself. Jesus said that if the Son of Man doesn't step in and stop all of this, that we are going to actually obliterate all mankind with our weapons of mass destruction. We know what's coming. And we think, my goodness, I'm confused. This is ugly. This is getting worse. The fires are being turned up another notch or two. What are we going to do? Jesus says, you're sorrowful now, but you're going to be filled with joy. Your sorrow shall turn to joy. You're going to weep. You're going to be filled with sorrow. But the world is going to rejoice. You see, the world hates the Lord. So the world will be glad. When Jesus is on the cross, those that aren't his will mock him, laugh at him. Oh, by the way, if you haven't heard lately, they still do. They mock him right there on the cross. They say, oh yeah, you say he's God? Well, if he's God, how come he let them kill him? Hey, isn't that exactly what they said there? If you're really God, come off there. They're still saying it today. They still mock him. They still make fun. Christianity is becoming a joke, even to Christians. More and more Christians don't want the Bible. They want parties and programs. They just want to fellowship and have the warm fuzzies. We're losing it, everybody. We're losing it. And Jesus is coming soon. I don't know where your heart is, but I pray that your heart gets turned over to him all the way, 100%. This is a fight. And I remember training for war, training for different situations. And I remember training in the police department for urban warfare, because in the police department it's paramilitary. And we trained with the SWAT team for a while. And I remember how you use those weapons and what kind of weapons you use, and when you're doing door-to-door, room-to-room searches, how it works. And believe me when I tell you, when you got out there and these were blanks, it wasn't live fire, you paid close attention to how it was done. You paid close attention. And then when I did my first real room-to-room search, I almost shot a 3-foot doll to death because we were looking for a bad guy. And I opened a closet door slowly, and there was a person about that tall. It looked like someone on their knees, and I almost didn't wait to see. I almost ruined a lady's doll. When you train, Christian, you're a soldier. We are training to recognize the enemy and to stay in this battle by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there are people singing a song. I forget the guy's name who's nationwide just recently in the past week. What's that fool's name? He's a preacher. He calls himself a Christian. He said that all churches have been taken over by Satan. What's that guy's name? Dummy? Well, he's a pastor, so we call him Reverend Dummy. All churches have been taken over by Satan, so all Christians need to get out of churches and stay home because the church age has ended. Now no one can be saved. You should stop taking communion and stop being baptized. Now he's got millions of people listening to him on the internet and on the radio and getting his tapes. And I think, Lord, you shall weep and be filled with sorrow. And the world will rejoice. Because Jesus is out of the way. But your sorrow will be turned to joy because Jesus will rise from the dead. Jesus will rise again. He is risen, by the way. He will return to the Father, and the Holy Spirit will be given to those that are truly His. In Psalm 30, verse 5, I know that you remember it, but I'll read it to you. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. All right, Christian. All right, disciples. It's hard for you now, but it's going to be all right. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Christian, even today, you're suffering now, but your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. When you're there in the presence of God, you're going to be just like the rest of us. When we're there in God's presence, we're going to go, wasn't so bad. Wasn't that bad? Wasn't so bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen closely. Truly, truly, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He says to his disciples, don't let this trip you up. I'm going to rise again. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to come back and get you. Your joy will be full. Trust me. Christian, today, you suffer now, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe mentally, however it might be going in your life, maybe financially even, economically, because of you just want to serve the Lord. And I know guys and girls who have chosen to serve the Lord, and when you choose to serve the Lord, there are times when you don't have what everybody else has. You can't get to what everybody else can get to. You can't get it the same way they can get it. So it's maybe a little more difficult now, but this sorrow, this hurt, this suffering, all of this is going to turn to joy. And it's pure joy. He explains it this way, and he says, a woman when she is in labor hath sorrow, but because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a child or man child, in other words, a baby, either boy or girl, is born into the world. You now, therefore, have sorrow. Same way as that woman that's in labor is in pain. He says, you now have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. Again, read for yourself Psalm 30, verse 5, as I read it. Read for yourself 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, our light affliction. And remember these things. I don't think it's supposed to be easy now. I think that these are difficult times, and God chose to place us in them. He could have had you born 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. But for some reason, he chose to have you now, here, now, through this kind of stuff. Through all this technology, through all the possibility of nuclear waste, of radioactive stuff, of so many getting cancer. So many of us will get cancer because of the things that the world has accomplished and because we're downwind. And we know it. We don't talk about it, but deep in our hearts, we understand that seems to come with the territory that God has placed us in. If He had placed us in southern Sudan, then today we would be starving or maybe persecuted and thrown in the fire, literally burned to death or raped or plundered or whatever, just because we're Christians. Had He had us living in China today, then there is persecution. We'd be hiding from the powers that be. Saying, even though they're saying it's free, we'd be hiding inside, hiding our churches so that no one would know where they were. All across this planet, to include the United States of America, persecution is going on, pain, suffering, troubles. But this light affliction is but for a moment. It's coming. He is coming back. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't close your Bible and walk away. Don't accept fast food Christianity. I know it tastes good, but it won't make you healthy and strong. It'll make you fat and flabby. What's the old Christian song? He's just a fat, fat, fat little baby. He knows his books of the Bible in John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you've ever seen. But he's a fat little baby. We got to grow up. How are you going to grow? Fellowship, God's Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer. And Jesus is going to talk about that. In that day, you shall ask, verse 23, you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or before this, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father. So they wouldn't have him right there. Right? He's right there right now. They can ask him, Lord, why do my feet hurt? Lord, what's going on here? When you say this, what do you mean? He's right there. You could touch him. You could give him a hug. You could sit with him, put your arm around him and say, I don't understand this. And he would talk to you. And he's saying, but I'm going back to my Father. You won't always have me right here physically like this. Now you're asking me now, but here's what I want you to do from now on. The Holy Spirit will be here to teach you and guide you. Remember now. He says, pray. Ask, just like you've been asking me. But what I want you to do now is ask the Father. You know, the disciples, they would never dream of doing that before, of going straight to God Almighty and saying, Lord, I'm tired. I don't understand what's happening to me. They would never have dreamed of doing that, those kinds of things. You didn't just go and especially even call him Father. But Jesus says, ask the Father in my name. Isn't that what he says? Truly, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. Remember, we talked about this the third time now he said that. That means in my place. Or literally, ask as if it's Jesus Christ asking himself. Ask, pray as if you're standing in the place of Jesus Christ himself. Ask in my name. First, you must be born again. Next, you certainly must be abiding in Christ. Thirdly, you've got to be in fellowship. And he says, ask. When you pray, ask the Father in my name. He will answer you. That hasn't been done before. They're not used to that. That's new. You know, I don't know how often you take advantage of this, but think about it. Just think. God says, come. And let us reason together. Let's just think about this. We can pray at any time, anywhere, with no prior preparation. You could be driving to work or to school or just taking a ride around the block. And you can, in your car, while you're using your blinker and lights and all those things, you can simply pray. And the Father wants to hear your prayer. And listen, this sounds freaky, but this is what Jesus said. The Father wants to answer you. Why? Because you are His. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. Who sits upon the throne of grace? God the Father, God Almighty. Let us boldly, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Anytime you and I choose. You know, you have to smuggle Bibles into China. But you don't have to smuggle prayers in there. They can't stop them. There is no country at this moment, no government official, no entity, no power that can stop you from praying for them or about them. You can pray and enter into Iraq today and say, Lord, I pray for those people that are there that are being misused. I pray for the situation. I pray for those in North Korea who right now are threatening. And North Korea can't stop you from doing it. It can't be done. You can't ban prayer in school. What's the old saying? As long as there are finals, there will always be prayer. You know that. You can't stop prayer. It can't be stopped. There's nothing people can do about it. You could pray at any moment to the Father. And Jesus says, that's what you should do. Go directly to God who sits on the throne. After those 7 astronauts died yesterday, Iraq put out a statement saying Allah killed them because we are the evil, of course, Israel and America. And I think, you know, the only God that has any kind of power or authority is God Almighty on the throne, not the moon God, Allah. Think about it. The only God who has the power and the authority to do anything is the God that we serve. And Jesus just told you, you're mine, you abide in me. Those of you that are mine, go straight to the Father. Man, He can do anything. In 6 days He created the world, contrary to what's being taught. In 6 days He created the earth, the universe. We still can't figure it out. It's so big we can't get around it. It's too big for us. In 6 days He did that. Do you think He could handle your situation? Or have you given up? Man. Jesus goes on and says this. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, or parables. But the time is coming when I shall no more speak to you in parables, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not that I will ask the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you. Do you have that underlined? Man, there's a great place, good scripture to memorize. God loves me. That's what he says right there. I'm sorry, you may not like me. Ha ha, God does. God loves me. Why? I belong to the Lord. God loves you. I know people carrying around signs that saying you're ugly and that God hates you. Mm-mm. God loves you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came out from God. He says, you don't have to ask me to talk to God for you to do you a favor. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to Mary. Say, Mary, could you mention to Jesus, to mention to God that I need new shoes? Or Jude, could you mention to the Lord my house needs to sell? Or, you know, they're confusing, but some of the saints offset one another. In other words, St. Anthony's been reinstated, by the way, for travel. So if you got a St. Anthony and you got a St., I forget what's his name, they cancel each other out. And I didn't know that, man, and that can be tricky. So if you're carrying the wrong kind of metals in your car, your travel is on your own. And I thought, whoa, that's a bummer, because you get the wrong saints in there together. I mean, you get your plastic Mary on there and your plastic Jesus, and then you stick a little Jude in and Anthony. If you might be offsetting something, you're going to make a mess out of everything. You say you're making fun. Well, of course. When I could go straight to the Father and say, Lord, would you please bless this trip and take care of the travel? Jesus says, you don't have to now come to me and ask me to talk God into it for you. Why? Because he loves you. You ask from now on, ask the Father in the name of the Son. How can I stand in the place or in the position of Jesus Christ? How can I ask in his name? You must be born again. Have you ever, ever asked Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your Savior? It takes a simple yes to have Jesus come into your heart. God Almighty wants to hear your prayers. He does. God Almighty, if you want to know what his will is, he wishes, he wants me and you to talk to him a lot more than we do. You say, God, what's your will? Talk to me. Just talk to me. I want you to talk to me. You say, me? Yeah, I love you. God wants to hear from you, and he wants to answer your prayers. But Christian, God answers every one of your prayers, every one of them. I'm glad that sometimes he has answered my prayers with a no. He has said no, and I'm kind of glad now. I wasn't glad at the time. I kicked and I stomped and I whined and I moaned and I thought, you don't love me if you love me. Just like little kids will do, you know. But we must come to the Father in and through Jesus Christ. In verse 28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, I go to the Father. We know that, but here's a reminder. I came from the throne in heaven. And I'm going back there. My assignment, my responsibility, my job, he says, this part of it, I've done what the Father wanted me to do. I'll go to the cross, I'll die. I'll shed my blood that you might have life. And I will be raised again on the third day. And I will go back to my Father. That's where I came from. Now the disciples, his disciples said unto him, verse 29, lo, or, oh, finally, now you're speaking plainly and you're not speaking in proverbs or parables. Now we are sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. The disciples are, they say, this we understand. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are God in human flesh. That we can understand. Now that makes sense. We've walked with you 3.5 years. We've watched you. We've listened to you. That we can, that makes sense. Thank you. Now you're speaking plainly. Now you're making sense, because we believe you came from the Father and we believe you're going back. We just don't understand all this stuff in between. You're saying that we're going to be sorry and filled with sorrow. And they don't understand his death yet and his resurrection. When he dies, you and I are going to see, they don't expect him to rise again. We do, because we've read the story. But remember, they don't. This is confusing to them. They don't understand the part that's coming up. Well, verse 31 says, Jesus answered them and said, do you now believe? The way he asked the question is kind of in the negative. What he's saying is, you got a little bit of it, but you're not grasping the whole thing. You will, though. You'll get it. You'll get it. Don't worry. You'll get it. Behold, he says, the hour is coming, and it now is, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own. And literally, it would be to his own place. And shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Soon these men, the ones that are right here, say, we love you. We know you've come from the Father. We know you're going back to the Father. We know you're God. We know that. That makes sense to us. The ones that follow Jesus every step of the way, they're going to scatter pretty soon. They're going to run for their lives, and they're going to leave Jesus there by himself. They don't know it yet. But Jesus says, the hour's coming now. It's time. Pretty quick here. You shall be scattered, every man to his own. Shall leave me alone. But I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Every one of these men who loves him will run for their lives, and Jesus will be left there by himself to face what's coming next. By the way, that would be in fulfillment of Zechariah 13:7. Zechariah 13:7 is a prophecy. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Got a prophecy that the shepherd, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, will be killed, and the sheep will scatter. But Jesus says, I won't be alone. You're going to leave me alone, but I won't be alone. The Father will be with me. That is, until a certain point there on the cross, when you and I heard Jesus yell out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? It got dark there on the cross. Things are going on that you and I still don't comprehend. Can't. Between the Father and the Son. But the Father's with me, he says. Verse 33, the last verse. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus wants you, wants me, wants us that are his, that are abiding in him, to have peace. Christian, do you have peace right now? I've spoken these things to you that you might have peace. In me, you might have peace. In the world, it's not going to be that way for you. You will have tribulation. The same word could be afflictions, anguish, troubles, trials, pressures, stresses, tribulation. Literally, it means to pressure, to squeeze. That's what the world will do to you and continue to do to you. That's why we're told we're in the world, but we are not of it. It squeezes, it pressures, it causes pain, it causes stress. The world is ugly. It's a mess. Haven't you noticed? And no one gets out alive, hardly. Some will. You will have peace while the world exerts pressure on you. While the world exerts troubles on you. While the world stresses you completely or puts trials on you. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Guarantee. You shall have it. Not you could have, depending upon what country you live in. You could have, if your lifestyle is a little shaky. You could have it if you don't forget to, or if you forget to pray. No, you shall have. It will be, Christian. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take heart, that means. Rejoice, be glad, take heart, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. All right, listen to what he just said. In this world, you'll have tribulation. I want you to have in me that peace. And so I'm telling you these things now, so that when they start to happen to you, you won't panic. There still will be a peace on the inside, although you're being pressured all over the place on the outside. Take heart, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Let's say it in American. I have won the victory. And because I have won the victory, you are mine, which means you have won the victory too. So you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Don't let it get you. Don't be troubled. This light affliction is but for a moment. Joy comes in the morning. joy and peace forever. But you've got that peace and that joy right now in the midst of everything that's going on. If you will trust Him, lean on Him, remain with Him in Him by the power that's His, not yours, by the strength that's His, there is a peace that He promises you, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a peace that passes anything your mind can figure out. Anything anybody's mind can figure out. And someone will say to you, how can you be so peaceful during this kind of thing? You say, it hurts, it's frightening, but I know that my Redeemer lives, Job said. And He will stand on that final day, and I will stand physically with Him. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with Him on that day. I know it. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. I've won the victory. If you are His, you've won the victory. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I didn't say it wouldn't be confusing. Jesus didn't say it'll all make sense and you'll just be just thrilled all the time. No, He said you shall have tribulation. People are leaving the church because they don't want to suffer any. They're leaving the church because they don't want hard times. People are promising them no hard times. For you to promise someone no hard times would go completely against God's word. To go completely against God's word is not wise. Because the Bible clearly says, let God be true and every man a liar. So it doesn't matter what someone else has told you. You can take this to the bank. God's word will be fulfilled. Not one dotted I, not one crossed T, will be lost or gone till every bit is fulfilled. Don't worry that someone's giving you a copy of the Bible that's not his. Stick with what you know is solid. Do you have that peace? Do you belong to Him? Do you know He's going to the cross in another chapter here or two? He's going to die for me. He's going to pay the price that I could have life and go into the ministry. He's going to pay the price that you can have life and serve Him by playing music or by loving one another or by taking care of each other. He's given you freedom from all your sin. And there's a peace and there's a joy, even though the world continues to press in on all sides. We're going to share communion together now. Hold on to that tiny piece of bread and to that cup, and we'll take those together. Hang on to them, and we'll take them together. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for the reminder of Your goodness to us. When Jesus told us very clearly, ask the Father in My name. Lord, we thank You for eternal life. For Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior, who went to the cross, who shed His blood willingly that our sins would be washed away, gone forever, never to be mentioned again. We praise You, Lord. And we worship You.